Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show. I am great. Not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay, for this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show with your host, Phenicia Hubbard, and co-host, Beverly Rogers and Candace Cole. This is the Common Sense Connection, where we discuss topics that expand your mind and challenge you to rethink and resurrect common sense. For a listing of upcoming guests and topics, visit Phenicia.com.
Hello, and happy Sunday. Welcome to another special edition of the Make It Great Show. So glad to have you listening and tuned in. You can find us online at blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat. And you can also chat with us live at 347-327-9281. On the Make It Great Show, we come together every Sunday to empower, uplift you through what we like to consider a revolutionary approach to radio interviews. What we do is connect with other women who are making it great, impacting the world with their special imprint, and we take an opportunity to really sit down with them and get to the heart of who they are and what inspires them and the work that they do. I'm Phenicia Hubbard, your Make It Great coach.
I'm Beverly Rogers. I'm the question coach.
And I'm Candace Cole, and I'm playing in the light. And we're really, really glad that you're here with us tonight.
Super excited to have you here. And we've got Miss Sharonda Chrome in the round table today. Hey, Sharonda.
Hello.
Hey, Bev, tell me something good that happened with you last week.
Everything good happened with me last week. It started off the week, and I don't want to sound as though I'm being morbid, but I had my husband's memorial service last week, and it was a celebration. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many people call and compliment me on how well and how much they enjoyed celebrating my husband's transition into eternity, which is what we're calling it. But I had a great week, and when that door closed, so many opened. And it's just being very in tune to what my next assignment is. I realized that caregiving was an assignment that ended when he passed away. And I am now moving on to new things, and I'm looking forward to telling you what they are later.
Well, you know, we can't wait to hear. There's always something exciting coming from you, Bev. And what an amazing celebration of life that you had on Monday. I was glad to attend and partake in that. So very well done, my good and faithful servant, as the scripture says. Hey, Candace, we know you had a lot of transition going on recently. Tell me what's good in your world.
Well, I was telling the ladies earlier, I have officially unpacked, so I am happy about that. For people who don't know, me and my husband, we decided to intentionally downsize so that we could travel more. So we transitioned not only just to a new place, but to a smaller place. And what's been really awesome is that we've been really enjoying the space. It's intimate, it's cozy, and we've been really learning about what we really need and what we don't need. So it's been clearing clutter, which of course just energetically just makes everything feel better. So even though it's a smaller space, it feels so much bigger because of that, because we're both kind of in this intentional mode of, you know, what do we really need, and then how do we get out and explore the world. So I'm ecstatic about unpacking and decluttering.
That's a great way to do your spring cleaning, right?
Yes.
Perfect timing. I love it. Hey, Sharonda, we were so excited to have you on the show. Most recently, we had a special interview with you, and now you are back on the roundtable with us. So what's hot in your life right now? What are you celebrating?
Oh, well, I'm celebrating being here with you guys. For me, it just demonstrates where I am consciously, you know. So I'm celebrating just attracting opportunities to get out and meet people and serve people. I can't pinpoint one thing at this moment to celebrate, but I'm in a space of life is good right now, and I'm just riding that wave, you know.
Yes, life is good, only always. Love it, love it. Thanks, Sharonda. Glad to have you all here. So we all have really good things going on in our life right now. And I'm excited about the sister that is joining us in the roundtable shortly. Didn't realize that we had so much in common. Now, the four of us, Sharonda, Bev, and Candace, we all have experience with coaching. Candace with sort of an educational coaching, Bev with caregiving and life coaching through Compass, Sharonda also coaching more in the spiritual piece and also life coaching through Compass, and then myself, instructional coaching and life coaching. So LaShawn is also a coach, so we'll have an opportunity to welcome her and talk about that. But what I really want to do is introduce you all to this sister, and then we're going to dig deep to get to know who is the woman within her, Ms. LaShawn McCreary. She is a fellow Toastmaster. I always love meeting fellow Toastmasters, and right now she's based in the Atlanta area. And what she's doing in Atlanta is truly living what's called the intentional life, and I think that really embodies the essence of who she is and her purpose, living the intentional life, empowering women to really become whole and live intentionally. And so when we think about living intentionally, we're talking about authenticity, we're talking about purpose and meaning. And this is a sister who spent about 10 years of her life like always looking out, thinking that, you know, I should be somewhere else, I should be doing something different, and then finally came to the realization that, you know what, it's all within me, this is what I need to be doing. So LaShawn, you know, goes out there, works in the field, she does workshops, she works with women, and she empowers them to really take control of their destiny, you know, looking at what you want spiritually, professionally, socially, even on the physical level, you know, what is it that you really want? She does have a background in television production, kind of sales, customer service, and ministry. So when you think about total experience, I mean, she's spanned the gamut in terms of work that she's done, and also personal training. If we start talking about the right brain side, you know, LaShawn, a Reiki practitioner, she's a hypnotherapist, a personal trainer. We need to dig deep and figure out, you know, what is this true woman within her and what inspires her to keep going as being such a multifaceted woman. So I want to welcome Ms. LaShawn McCreary to our roundtable as she pulls up a seat next to us. And Ms. LaShawn, welcome to the Make It Great Show. So glad to have you here today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, and I feel so honored to be here. And I have to say, before we go any further, kudos to all of you ladies. You know, Bev, when I heard you say your husband's celebration, you know, and you talked about that, that really touched me. And for you to be able to look at it in that light. I really, really, a big hug to you. I am sending you a big hug right now. I really do. And, you know, and I celebrate that. And even you saying that you moving on to your next assignment, you're making that transition because a caregiver is what you were before, and now you're transitioning into something new. And so I celebrate you, and I know that you are going to be wildly successful into wherever your next phase of your evolution is going to be. And even Candace, you talking about, you know, intentional, you know, that's one of my favorite words. I hear the word intentional, and you already have my attention. And, you know, even with you saying that you and your husband intentionally, you know, going and moving someplace smaller so that you can do more traveling, and you're looking at that from a positive perspective. I absolutely love that, you know, and even with you, Sharonda, and celebrating where you are consciously, and that really sparked something within me, because that is where it all starts, you know, when we decide that we can celebrate where we are, because so many people consciously, they don't even know where they are. They're almost walking around in a subconscious state, but you're awake to your conscious self. So I celebrate all of you ladies, and I thank you for having me on the show this evening.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Right.
Hey, LaShawn, so it's springtime. They say it's spring. Up here in Chicago, it still feels like winter. We're wearing gloves and scarves and hats right now. But I'm sure it's warm down in Atlanta where you are. And so when I think about, what, is it warm down there?
No, not yet. I was about to say, although I wish, no, I'm still, and even though I'm originally from Ohio, and everybody laughs at me down here, and they're like, you should be used to the cold, and I'm like, I'm really not. So I still have on my hat and gloves, at least earlier in the day. Later on, it's been okay, but yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and so when we think about, like, the seasons changing and transition, mm-hmm. You know, springtime is the time where we start to blossom and things start to shift in our lives for us. So looking at where you are right now, you know, what is shifting or getting ready to spring forward for you just on a personal level?
Wow. You know, that's a really great question. And one of the biggest shifts that's taking place in me right now is me totally releasing the woman within me. And I mentioned that a little earlier, you know, LaShawn and within LaShawn. And that aspect of me is really blooming forward and just totally embracing who I am as a woman, what I look like, what I love, what I like, dislike, and just totally accepting all of who I am. And so that's where I'm at in this season.
You say accepting LaShawnda.
Accepting LaShawn.
Accepting LaShawn.
Yes.
How do you do that? What? I'm going to use your term, and I love it. Thank you very much for bringing it up, Candace. What are you doing intentionally to make sure that you're doing that on a regular basis? What are your strategies?
You know,
what are you practicing?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I do every morning when I wake up is I make sure that I go through and I do my meditation. I also do a self-Reiki treatment, and it's just allowing myself to relax and start my day off on the right foot, because we've all been there. We've gotten out of bed late, and we start running around and everything else, and then our whole day just seems to be hectic. But I make, you know, supreme effort to make sure that when I start off my day that I'm doing it right and not haphazardly. And by me giving myself that me time, you know, that just that space to dedicate to myself and not worry about, you know, checking my emails or, you know, doing whatever it is that I may need to do, but really focusing on me, that gives me that time to connect with my inner self. And when I do that, I open up the doors to accept the rest of my life, to accept the rest of my day.
Girl, you speaking my language.
Mine too.
Yeah.
You know, LaShawn, when I heard you, when you said, you know, you're accepting that woman within, the first thing that came up for me was the word integration. So, like, us integrating, women integrating their inner selves into their life. So how do you see you, you know, now that you're blossoming in Spring and Four, like, in what ways do you want to really integrate all of that into your personal, professional? Like, is there any specific things where you're like, I want to showcase this part of who I am, maybe in a part of my mm-hmm. life that I didn't normally do before?
You know, I think for me, I am a big kid. I love to go to the park. I will ride the swings. I will get on the slide. You know, I will color. I mean, right. I literally do. I mean, you know, I go to the dollar store and I will buy my own, you know, crayons and coloring books. And so I really embrace my inner child. Now, it's not a childish behavior, but just saying to myself, you know what, there are certain things that I enjoy, and I am always going to do these things so long as they serve me, so long as they bring me joy, and I get to relax, and whatever it is that those activities do for me, I allow myself to embrace them. You know, even a lot of times when people, because I love to read, and as I read, and some people will say, you know, did you read that whole book already? Well, some books I read from cover to cover, and then other books, there's just something in me. There's something that I'm seeking at that time. So I may pick up that book, flip through, find the chapter that it's meant for me to read that chapter, and then put it down. And it doesn't mean that I wouldn't have liked the rest of the book. It just means that what I was seeking at that time, I found it. And so that old, you know, where people say, oh, whatever you start, you have to finish, I did finish it because I was just looking for one thing, and I found it. So why do I need to spend time reading the rest of it? And here's the thing. It's there. I can always go back to it. And so it's also about allowing myself to break through the status quo. You know, and I've always had this belief that if your beliefs don't serve you, then why do you serve them? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, so many of us are serving these beliefs that we just picked up from family and friends and teacher, whoever, it doesn't matter, but we picked them up a long time ago, and we're still carrying them around, and to be honest with you, many of them are dead weight. And so if it's not adding to you or benefiting you in some way, then we need to begin to let those things go. And so that idea that everything has to be done this way or that way, and there's a wrong way and there's a, you know, a right way, there are many, many shades of gray. And I say, well, what's the shade of gray that LaShawn is looking for? And if today I want white, then I'll take white. And if I want black, I want black. But if I want one of those many shades of gray, I'm going to choose it intentionally, and I'm going to be satisfied with my choice because I have a right to do that.
I celebrate you, LaShawn. That is wonderful.
Thank you.
I love that. Speaking of the books that you are reading, what do you have on your nightstand right now?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many. You know what? Because, again, because of how I sometimes read, I'm kind of in and I'm kind of out. Some of the most recent books that I've read, one was called The Science of Being, which is a really great book. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, What Do You Say When You Talk to Yourself? That was a book all about the subconscious and your self-talk. There was another one that I read that was called God Is Not a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim. So just different books of different, you know, thoughts of philosophy.
I love it.
So let's talk a little bit about that. LaShawn, because I'm really interested. I'm kind of chuckling because I'm like, yeah, I've got that book too. That sounds like my bookshelf. And when you start talking about working on your mind, I feel like it's something that you can definitely train, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was really intrigued by the hypnotherapy piece. People have a lot of interesting preconceived notions about what hypnotherapy is. Can you just break that down for us? What is it and what does that mean to you?
Yes. And, you know, and it's funny, the whole thing about we have these special magical powers. And I used to crack up the people in class because they would say, we don't have magical powers. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm Supergirl. Yes, I do. You know, and everybody would just laugh. But that, of course, is a myth. We cannot go into your mind and make you do anything that you don't want to do. And what most people are familiar with is something that they've seen on television. Or many people have also seen what is called stage hypnosis. And basically what they do is they find a group of people who are known to be what is called easily suggestible. And so those are people who realistically they want to get up on a stage and they want to quack like a duck or bark like a dog, but in their normal state, as we would call it, they're too embarrassed to do so. So it just gives them the freedom to say, hey, I'm going to be up here with a group of people and I can blame it on hypnosis, and then that's why those people are able to get up there on stage and do so. Now, let's say you ladies here on the call, if you are totally 100% against something like that, you would never even be picked for stage hypnosis. Why? Because you're not going to go along with it. And so the hypnotherapist, whoever is doing the stage hypnotherapy, they just wouldn't select people like that. You know, and so like I said, you know, then there's the belief that it's of the occult and that, you know, negative things can happen. And so there are all these negative things that can happen which do not happen. They are just myths because, unfortunately, when people don't know, again, whatever they see on TV, they just take it as truth when they actually have never done any research whatsoever on their own about hypnotherapy. Now, what hypnotherapy is it is just the use of hypnosis. And I'll ask you, ladies, this. Have any of you ever been hypnotized?
No.
No, I haven't.
I haven't.
Okay. I have not.
No, none of you have not either. Okay. Now, have any of you ladies ever been driving down the street and you're in deep thought and then it's almost like, oh, did I pass up my street? Where did it go? How did I pass it? How did I get this far down the street? Have any of you ever experienced that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. then whether you realize it or not, that's a state of hypnosis. Hypnosis is nothing more than changing from one state of your consciousness to another. And so we have four levels of consciousness. And so when you go from right now, we're all in our conscious state, which is considered to be our beta state. But whenever you're in hypnosis, you just drop down a little bit more, and then you're in what is considered the alpha state. So anytime you daydream, what you're actually doing is you're going in and out of what can be considered a hypnosis state. And so what happens is what I do as a hypnotherapist is I help people relax and get into that mode so that they can take in the information. And then what I do is I give them what are called suggestions, like, for example, what you guys have at the beginning of the show, I am great, I can believe I'm great. And so all these wonderful positive statements and these things are used so that people can lose weight, stop smoking, help them prevent anxiety, different type of fears that they may have, increase their self-esteem. So, you know, just a wide range of whatever type of issues that the person may have. And so what it's going to do is to help them deal with those issues. And one of the things that most people don't realize is that our conscious mind only represents 12% of our brain power. The other 88% is controlled by our subconscious. And so whatever is stored in your subconscious, which is your old memories, you know, any bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, those things are typically stored right there in our subconscious. And so in order to change our behaviors, many times we have to break through our filters so that we can reprogram what's in our subconscious. And that's what I love the most about doing hypnotherapy. So I hope that answers you ladies' question.
Do you find that you go back to hypnosis? Do you have someone that you go to? You know, they always say that a preacher needs a pastor and a coach needs a coach. Do you have someone that you trust that you go back to and get hypnosis?
I actually do have associates that I can go to for the hypnotherapy. Right now,
I haven't been doing that because I'm actually able to work through things in a different manner in my life. However, it's not like it's something that I won't go back into, because you're right, just like coaches need coaching, you know, like you said, and preachers need preachers, and everybody especially, and I believe that anybody who's in a field where you work with any type of psychology of the mind or the spirit, whatever it is, that you all, you know, all of us, we need somebody else that's there. Because after a point, it's like, yes, we know so much, but knowing it and applying it in our own lives are two different things. You know, and as the old, you know, and as the old cliche goes, you know, you can't see the picture if you're in the frame. And so there are things about us that we don't see, that somebody standing outside can see, but we ourselves can't see. And so, yes, I'm always making sure that, you know, that I'm following up, like I said, with different colleagues and people that I know that I can trust, because they may need to point out something about LaShawn. Absolutely.
That sounds like she was in our conversation earlier, doesn't it, Phoenicia?
It sure does. We must have been mind-melding.
Go ahead, Sharonda. I was just curious, can you talk a little bit about the differences between hypnotherapy and, let's say, guided meditation?
Very good. Now, I've never really studied a whole lot on guided meditation, so I'm not that familiar with it. But from what I do know, the little bit that I do know about that, is that with this one, you're pretty much just relaxing in the hypnotherapy and not really participating. It's kind of like you're there, but it's actually the therapist that's actually doing everything. Once we get you into that hypnotic state where you're very relaxed, mm-hmm. and you're just basically listening, and you're there, and there may be music playing in the background, you know, just to keep that, you know, and it's usually very dimly lit, just so that you can stay in that relaxed, calm, you know, state. Whereas when you're doing a guided meditation, I believe that they're just a little bit more involved in that.
I see. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, LaShawn, when did you get involved with hypnotherapy, or just even being more interested in the science of the mind, psychology? Like, when was that kind of moment where you were like, this is something that I'm really interested in and that I want to pursue further?
This all began to happen close towards the end of last year, actually. And it was interesting because as I was always wondering, you know, why is it that certain clients with coaching and personal training, where there are some people that will start and then no matter what happens, they will go all the way through until they reach their goals. And then there will be other people that all of a sudden they would hit this one space and then bam, they would stop and they would revert and go back to old behaviors. And so I began to become more interested, and then, you know, as an answer to a prayer, actually, you know, about wanting to, because my whole thing is about healing. What can I do to help my clients heal from whatever issues it is that they have that they're coming to me with? And because of that, it just opened up the doors to hypnotherapy. So then because at first I was just like, well, I don't know. But then once I began to, you know, really learn about it, and I was just like, oh, wait a minute, this is great. You know, this is something that's really, you know, really will be helpful. And then when I went through my first hypnotherapy session, and it was amazing just because of the results that I received very quickly, I was like, oh, my gosh, I have to do this. You know what I mean? It wasn't even necessarily the thing that I wanted to do. I really felt that I had an obligation to learn it because, again, it is my goal to help my clients achieve whatever, you know, to achieve success, of course, but whatever method that I can use to help them get to that result, that's what I do.
Mm. How do you get people to the place where they're open and receptive to such a service?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that's going to be different from person to person. And typically within usually the first session, they're going to relax a little, but not really that much if they've never had hypnotherapy done before. Now, if they've had it done before, then it's a little bit different. But it's also not something where you walk in and 5 minutes later we start. you know, I have to talk to you, you know, take you through a short assessment, you know, do different things like that and really get you to begin to become comfortable with me in order for it to work for you. Because, you know, if I see that that person really isn't able to relax, if it doesn't feel like the energy isn't right, you know, if there's a disconnect in any way, well, then it's best that we at least either don't do it then or maybe I would need to refer them to somebody else. And even with something like that, even though that's never happened, if it was to happen, I am more than willing to pass them along because I understand that it's the relationship. Anytime when you are dealing with people on a one-on-one, you know, type of basis like that, whether it be counseling, life coaching, personal training, whatever it is, there has to be a relationship. There has to be a bond where they trust you because it's a very personal connection. And so if that's not there, then it's not going to work to that person's benefit.
Do you, I know that you, under your services, you listed coaching. Do you use mm-hmm. the hypnotherapy in your coaching sessions or when, if I were to call you and say, oh, LaShawn, I really need to talk to you. I'm not sure what I'm looking for. I'm not sure what I need. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend, do you do the selection as to whether it will be coaching or hypnotherapy or whatever it is I would need?
Right. And what will happen is it's going to depend on the person. So realistically, when I get in there and I do the initial consultation just to figure out what it is that they need, and we will make the assessment from there. If it's somebody who seems like they definitely would be opposed to it, then I won't even bring it up. Because there are some people that, again, because of their beliefs, because of certain things that they've heard, they're just against it for whatever reason. And if they are, that's okay. So then I go to the next thing of, you know, again, what's going to suit that person? Because for me, I'm not a cookie cutter coach. I don't have one pattern and everybody is going to do this on day one, this on day two, this on day three. It is totally different for every client that comes in to see me. The only thing that all of my clients get and I can't even say it's the same because even their assignments are different, but I give all of my clients what I call self-work. So instead of homework, I call it self-work because you're not waiting until you get home to use this. I want you to apply it the minute you walk away from me. When you get
That's
in your
good.
Car, when you go back to work, when you're in your community, you need to be doing something because between now and next week when you see me, you're going to spend many other hours dealing with those issues that you came to me with in the first place. So I need to make sure that I'm giving them something that's going to equip them and keep them busy and give them something thinking until they come back to see me. And that's why all of my clients have some type of daily assignments, and then they have other assignments. And, again, from person to person, that's going to vary just depending on their needs.
That's really great.
I wonder what that does to help someone embrace their freedom. You talk a lot about how deep down inside, our deepest desire in life is to just be free. And so mm-hmm. how does that work help me or anyone to break down any barriers that I might have or to really just see beyond the veil or the layers? How does that help me to be more free?
Well, what it does, and one of the things I always ask women is, what do you want? And it's amazing because a lot of times, well, I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. And then after they go through their list of don'ts, I said, okay, I'm going to ask you this question again. What
do you want?
And it's amazing how so many people, and I'll say people because it's not just women, how many people, they don't really know what they want. They have this long list of everything that they don't want, but they don't know what they do want. And that's the beginning of feeling very bound. Because you don't even know what you want. So even if it showed up, you wouldn't be ready to receive it because you don't know that you want it. And so it always starts there. And I say, okay, even if we have to work this backwards, now that you know what you don't want, what do you want? You know, and I'll take them down, and sometimes I have to ask that question 3 or 4 times before we get to the root of what it is that they really want. And then once they do, they go, oh, yeah, that's it. That's what I want. That's what I really want. I really want, you know, my children and my family to respect me. That's what I really want. You know, I really want to be able to take time out for myself. That's what I really want. And I want to do it, and I don't want to feel guilty about it. I don't want to feel like a bad mother or wife just because I want to take a little bit of time out for myself, and I want everybody to respect it and to appreciate it. That's what I really want.
You know,
so
LaShawn,
when they get to the point where they can verbalize that, that in and of itself, you will be amazed at the tears that just come forth. You know, and at the breakthrough, and it just looks like this weight has just lifted off of them because I've given them permission to go ahead and at least speak it so then we can work on getting it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I really know exactly what you're talking about, and what I have found most of the time, especially in workshops, is not that people don't know what they want. It's just that they're either ashamed or afraid,
mm-hmm.
or there is something going on that makes them unable to articulate what they want.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
You know, because a lot of people don't want other people to know they're afraid. They don't want other people to know that they're ashamed. They don't want other people to know that they want time for themselves. They don't believe or they don't know about self-care.
And you know, the one that hurts probably, and of course all of those situations are painful, but one that I find that is most painful for them is the one that says, I don't want the life I have.
Yes.
I don't like it. I love my spouse. I love my children, but I don't want the life that I have, and that's tough.
And they don't know how to change it.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So and Candace, go ahead.
Okay. I was just wondering, cause, you know, as coaches, you know, and trainers, and just, you know, you're holding so much space for people. And we all understand this as teachers and coaches, and I just wonder, what do you do to stay grounded? So as you're balancing all these different hats, but not just that, but also really connecting and having relationships with your clients, like how do you keep yourself grounded? You know, not necessarily balanced, but just grounded, because mm-hmm. like, sometimes I know it can be overwhelming when people are, because people are unloading things on you, and like you said, it makes your heart heavy, and you're carrying
mm-hmm.
all of that. So how do you keep yourself grounded in the moment, you know, and still having joy and peace and all that when you're, you know, when you have
right.
all these things swirling around you, which is just a part of your work.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's interesting because for me, it typically happens within the sessions. And first, you know, I always start all of my sessions off in prayer. And somehow it is amazing how all of the clients that I have received, they are always open to it. I will just mention it to them, and I will ask them if they would be okay with that, and they always are. You know, regardless of what their beliefs are or whatever, it's amazing. And so for one, I have that because I'm always tapping into the divine power. I do not know the answers to everything. I don't know, you know what I mean? And nor do I ever claim to know. There's a whole lot that I know, but I know that there's a whole lot more. You know what I mean? And so I'm always relying, in addition to the knowledge and the skills that I've acquired, depending on that power. And so from there, as I go into the session, I am one where you are not going to talk my ear off. I'm going to allow you to tell me enough of the bad things that happen, and then it's cleanup time. I don't need to know every single scenario that took place over the past year, 5 years, 10 years. I just need to know enough to get us started, and then that's what we're going to do. And that's one of the things that I encourage them to do, because we're not going to, you know, take this and play it like it's a broken record over and over and over again in your head. We need to begin as soon as possible getting you to reprogram that. And, you know, and so I'm having them do that. It's just like, okay, we're going to spend so much time in this session, because not only will it drain me, it drains them as well. You know, and so then we have to get to a point where you're going to do something within that session to begin to release. Now, of course, they're not going to necessarily release everything at that point in time, but we're going to begin to release and we're going to begin to let go. And so if tears need to come out, okay, here I come. I'm bringing the tissues and a big hug for you, and we're going to let this go. And then we're gonna get it out, and then we're going to keep moving, and we're going to keep moving. And I'm going to build you up, and I'm going to build you up. Because the thing is, I'm not looking for followers. I'm building up the leader within you.
Yes.
And that's why I always tell people, you know, when they come to me, I love it that you're here. I love having you as my client. But my happiest day is going to be the day that you graduate and you leave me, because I know that I've done my job, because I've placed enough in you that you can go out there and apply these things over and over again. I don't want you here with me 15, 20 years. You don't need to be here with me 15, 20 years. However long you need to be here with me, okay, fine. And I'll embrace that time. And, of course, that time period is going to differ from woman to woman, but eventually you need to go. you need to be, and I don't say that, you know, in a, you know, without any compassion or any, you know, love, because it's all love. But I think of it as like kind of if you look at like an infant child, you need to help that child go through the different phases of life so that eventually they can go out on their own.
LaShawn, what do you think you will grow to? What does the next level look like for you?
Wow. That's a great question. More books, definitely. And just, you know what? The word that comes to me right now is more. More of everything that I've been doing. And see, and that's another part of my own personal freedom, kind of tying back to a question that was asked of me earlier. For me, it's about, again, allowing myself to continue to change. And it was interesting because years ago I used to use the term of, or the title I should say, of motivational messenger. And then a couple years later I changed it to wholeness coach. And then I changed it to fulfillment specialist, which is the last one that I currently use. And every time I changed them, I felt bad, and should I be doing this? And people are going to think I'm going through an identity crisis, and what kind of coach can't even keep a title? So I had all these negative thoughts going through my head. But then I had to embrace it, because guess what? I am still a motivational messenger. I am still a wholeness coach. It's just that the title changed. And did I change? Yes, but I evolved. Every time I become more of my authentic self, and I'm not apologizing for that. It's unnecessary for me to. So when I began to embrace that and just allow it to be, and now that I can even talk about it, because before I was just like, okay, I'm just going to hide it. Hopefully nobody will bring it up. You know, everybody will forget about it. I'm like, wait a minute, you got stuff all over the internet. Somebody is going to find something, you know, if they really want to. So I said, okay, you know what? Just roll with it. Yes, that's who you were. That was the title that you used at that time. And again, that those portions are still with me. But if I choose to change the title, what does it matter? Because, again, the authentic woman has just grown stronger and stronger and stronger. And again, because of the beliefs that we've had that, you know, that we came up with, that you pick one job and you stay in that job and that's what you do until it's time for you to retire, time out for all of that. You know, I'm like, let's go out there, you know. And if you're going to be an author for 10 years and be an author for 10 years, and then if you're going to be an author and be on television, then do all of that, because we have so many great gifts within us. But the world and society has told us that we have to pick this one thing and stay there forever. No, we don't. And if you feel that desire, if that's what really compels you, you know what I mean, then go for it. Then I encourage everybody to just go for it and make it happen.
You mentioned the label and changing your title, what you called yourself
mm-hmm.
throughout your career. Let's take
mm-hmm.
a look at who LaShawn McCreary is and who she's become.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some titles that would capture the essence of who you are.
Intentional. Love. Empowering. Bold. Compassionate. Forgiving. and then my mind stops. So I'll go with that list there.
I'll give you one. Articulate.
Okay. Thank you.
Descriptive. Empathetic. Now, this is just what I'm hearing from listening to you talk.
Okay, so everybody add those to my list, too. I'll graciously accept those.
Rashawn, I'm wondering, what is the one thing, I mean, it doesn't have to be related to a professional goal, but, like, what's something that you're like, I really, really want to try this, or I really, really want to do this?
That is a great question. And right now, I don't know that there's anything right now at this moment. Now, you call me back in an hour, that answer may very definitely change. But right now at this moment, you know, yes, something did just come to me. And I wouldn't mind being on a television show. I wouldn't want to have, like, my own show for an extensive period of time, just because I just don't think that I would like that. I've worked in television before. I've even worked on a film before, and I know the amount of hours and work that it takes to make that happen. And so I don't think that I would necessarily enjoy that, but I think it would be great if I had the opportunity to be like, and you have all, I'm sure, have watched Oprah at least at one time or another, and where she would have different speakers come on her show, whether it be Dr. Phil or Ayanla or, you know, just different people that she had. I would love to do something like that. I think that that would be great.
And on the flip side of that, what's one thing that you've done that you never thought you would ever do?
Something that I've done that I thought that I would never do. Man, these are some great questions. And I'm trying to think, what did I do? That I never thought that I would do. Well, I'm going to go with the first thing that comes to my mind. And this one is me being very, very transparent. But there is a part of me, I have a mother who has dementia, or my mother, I should say, if I'm saying that, my mother who has dementia, and that has been very, very tough for me. And one of the things that, although I am dealing with the situation, it at times is very, very heartbreaking for me because me and my mother were always very close. So at times, I put more distance between us than I should, but it makes it easier for me to deal with it in that way at this phase of my life. So that would be my answer.
Thank you for being so open and honest with that.
Yes, thank you. And dementia and Alzheimer's is very difficult. It is hard to watch someone leave you. When I talked about celebrating my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2001. So he just passed away in 2013. So I know what you're going through. The distance, the one thing, and I know we're supposed to be asking you questions, but the one thing that I want to say to you is, you are going to have to find a way to understand that this is her journey, and it is your role to do what you can to make it easy for her to transition through that journey. In other words, she's on the train, you're only the porter, and as the porter, you do your shift and make sure you're not in the station and you're not on the train when it gets into the station. Whatever that looks like for you, and do know that the journey is hers, and you must figure out what your role is in that journey. That's number one. Number two, never should on yourself. Don't let people tell you what you should do, how it should be, where you should go, how you should treat her, how many times you should see her, how many times what you should be doing. You go back to your foundation. You go back to God and you ask him, what is my role? What do you want me to do in this?
Wow.
Okay?
Thank you for that. Yes, checking the mail to Beth. Thank you. No, I do. I appreciate, because those are true words of wisdom, because you've been through it, so you know what it's like, you know, to be there, just a different type of relationship, but love and that pain, it's still there and it's the same. So I do. I thank you for that. I really do, and I will remember that.
Yes, ma'am. You hang on to that, because you will have so many shoulds at you. It is a new role. And
gotcha.
That, by the way, that's my next assignment, is to allow people to know, or let people know, that you have a new role, and that role is not for you to be on the train when it gets to the station.
Wow. That's wonderful. That's beautiful. And it's funny, because as you said that, a should came into my mind, which is, I should not be listening to you right now. If they give me something I don't want to hear. So I will definitely use that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, and as Candace would say, honor the resistance. I just recognize it. And Bev, we're going to get you that pulpit one day. I promise. I love it.
I know that LaShawn says that she does her devotion every morning. Do realize that not every pastor has to be in a pulpit.
You know what? And that is very, very true. And it's interesting, because the thing is, we all have a ministry. You know, and so many people, you know, they look at church and things, and they focus so much on the person that's up in the pulpit, the person that has the mic. But we all have a voice, you know, and that's why I love to really talk to everybody and say, you know what, where's your authentic voice? You know, even if you don't have a microphone in your hand, where is your voice? Where is your gift? And are you using that?
LaShawn, what is something that you do for fun? Because when we think about living an intentional life and really being on purpose, doing the work takes work. And then to balance that out, we've got to make sure that we're really enjoying life. So what does fun look like for you?
I am very open. I love to dance. I love to go to the park and take a walk. I, of course, love to work out. and then very soon I'm going to be getting into – see, and here's my thing. I know this is strange. I have this bucket list of things that I want to do, and they all concern either jumping out of airplanes or off of a rock high up someplace or something like that, or getting in this really deep water. But yet I'm afraid of heights, and I'm also, and I also have yet to learn how to swim. So it's just like, and I know that may sound strange, but eventually I am going to go for a ride in a hot air balloon. I cannot wait to do that. I think that is so exciting. So there's like this list of things that I am definitely going to be doing. White water rafting. I was definitely going to do that in college, and my mother was like, I don't think so. Bowling or an aerobics class, getting in the water. So that kind of didn't happen. But yeah, so you know, anything really where I'm with people, and even by myself sometimes, but of course hanging out with people and laughing and enjoying life, because I'm a very silly person and I love to see people laugh. Love it.
Speaking of that, LaShawn, when was the last time you've actually done something that felt scary good?
Scary
good. I like that term,
good.
Scary good.
I know. I love that. I don't think I've done anything. Yes, as a matter, it was quite a while ago, and it was the first time. There's a park in the Atlanta area called Stone Mountain Park. and there's this high mountain. Well, to me, it's really high. It's not really that high, but the very first time that I went up that, oh, my gosh, I was it was a nightmare. And then it was fine going up because, you know, I'm healthy enough to get up and down. That wasn't the problem. But my thing was, again, with me being afraid of heights, and once we got to the part where I was just like, I'm standing up higher than the trees, you know, and I could look down and I could see different cities and everything. That kind of, you know, I had a little bit of difficulty with that. So, but again, that's, you know, helping me build up to the things on my bucket list. So I'm good.
Yeah. That's great. LaShawn, I wonder what's the one song, like, every time you hear it, it just gets you dancing? Like, no matter when you hear it, no matter if it's an old song, new song, but, like, what's that one song that when you hear it, you just got to dance?
There is a song by Mary J. Blige called Just Fine. Whenever that song comes on, yeah, I absolutely love it, and I just get up and I just want to start dancing, and I'm like, everything is just fine. Yeah, and I really, but you know, when I listen to the lyrics, I mean, she says, you know, I like what I see, something, I can't think of the lyrics, but when she walks past the mirror, she likes what she sees. And I love that because as women, there are so many of us that don't even want to walk past the mirror. You know, see a camera come out and they want to run and hide because they don't like what they see. And so, again, that's for me representing that freedom of just saying, hey, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm healthy, and I'm happy.
Mm. So what's up next for you, LaShawn? Let us know or let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you or learn more information about you.
They can go to my website, that is LaShawnMcQuarrie.com, which is L-A, S as in Sam, H-A-W, N as in Nancy, M as in Mary, C-C-R-A-R-Y.com. And while you're there, you can also put in your pre-order for my first book, Woman Within, Loving, Accepting, and Empowering Your Authentic Self. And so you can go there, coaching services, if you need me as a speaker at a banquet or an event or whatever it is that you're having, you can contact me through my website.
I want to ask one last question about you because I realize that your uptime and your bubbliness, I know it comes from your meditation and from your knowing who you are. But, LaShawn, what kind of people do you surround yourself? What would you say if there was one thing you could say about your friends, the ones that you the people you surround yourself, what would you say about them? How do you select them? Are they attracted to you? Who are these people, and what is it you love about having them around you?
I would say I believe that we attract people into our lives. I'm very big into the law of attraction, which just states that like attracts like. So whatever it is that you're getting into your life, good and bad, somehow you attracted that to you. So if there's somebody that comes into my life and I don't like what I see, I automatically stop looking at that person and I look at me. And I find out, how is it that this person even came into my space? Because that's not me. That's not what I represent. And what I found out is that when I'm true to myself, happy, joyous, full of energy, that those are the type of people that I attract into my life. And so for me, it's all about being positive and having a lot of high energy. You know, people who love life, people who want to kick back and have fun. You know, people who want to whine and complain. Nope. You know, make an appointment, and I can help you with that. And then once we get, you know, once you get through that, then, yeah, maybe we can hang out. But I'm very, very particular because if I want to, you know, go out and have fun, I want to go out with somebody that I can go out and have fun with, not be depressed and not, you know, listening to a long, drawn-out story. And I do, and don't get me wrong, everybody goes through different phases in life, and I definitely allow my friends to do that as well. But, again, as a person who is all about healing, I have to make sure that as your friend that I am going to make sure that you do what you need to do to help yourself heal and move on. And sometimes all we need to do is stop talking about what happened and go live in the now. Let's just be present in this moment. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the future. Let's just focus on right now.
That sounds like
all
a
right,
theme.
I love it.
That sounds like an amen and a rap to me, Phoenicia.
Yes, very well said. And so thanks, LaShawn. We know that people will be reaching out for that appointment. Want you all to definitely check out the website, LaShawnMcCrary.com, about living your intentional life. I want to thank Sharonda for joining us in the roundtable today. Beth and Candace, fabulous as always. And until next time, please go out there and make it great.
I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim, shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply, I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay, for this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great.